Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on the holiness of God. The holiness of God. And we've, by way of review, we've broken this down into three parts, if you will. One is, we need to know and understand, because we don't, the holiness of God. Who God is as it relates to his holiness. Second, we need to know and understand who we are as it relates to our sin, the heinousness of our sin. And thirdly, we need to know and understand what glorification is, what it means, and how that relates ultimately to the holiness of God. By way of review, we said things like the reason there is sin, the reason there is evil, the reason that there is bad is because it's up against the standard, which is the holiness of God. There would be no bad or anything you could call sin or anything that you could call evil if you didn't have a standard of goodness. Amen. And that standard is the holiness of God. Amen. So what we've done over the past few months, actually, we've covered the first two, and probably the last month or so, we've gone into the third one, which is to understand what glorification means. And that's where we'll start. We'll start there, understanding what glorification means. Glorification is God's final removal of what? Sin from the lives of believers as they enter into their eternal state. That's good news.
Amen.
I thank God we won't have to wrestle with sin forever.
Amen.
We'll wrestle with it while we're here, and then once we are done here, we're done with that.
Amen.
That's good news.
Amen.
So glorification is God's, in a nutshell, God's final removal of sin from the lives of his people as they enter into their eternal state. Another way of saying it, glorification is the finalization or the completion. It is the approval. It is the consummation, which is the fulfillment of what God has started in us, which is our sanctification. So that's good news. And we thank you that the Lord is doing that in us. We talked about the order of salvation, and there are steps, if you will, to salvation that begin. And the first step began in eternity past, and that's known as foreknowledge. Foreknowledge, again, is not only to know beforehand, foreknowledge. Not only to know beforehand, it means that, but it also has the word in the Greek, the word know, means intimate knowing, as a husband knows a wife intimately. And so the Lord knows us and loves us intimately, and he knows us, amen, before everything got started, because he's a God who knows and sees everything. So eternity past, he saw his people in reality, even though he saw it before it ever got started. He's a God that knows and sees all. So foreknowledge is the first step. Then after foreknowledge is predestination. Remember, he gives you a destiny before the journey begins. Predestination. Thank God that he didn't just call you and know you, but he also gave you a specific destiny. And that destiny is to be conformed. We'll get to that in a moment, to the image of his son. After he foreknew us, after he predestined us, gave us a destiny, then he called us. He called us. And that is an effectual call, meaning it effected exactly what God wanted to happen. So when God called us out of a world of sin and darkness into his marvelous light, we were going to come, because that call enabled us to come. It empowered us, gave us a desire, and all of that went into that. In a nutshell, that call was so powerful that it went into our dead spirits, if you will, spiritually speaking, and raised the spirits from the dead. In other words, there was a resurrection that took place, and our spirits became alive. Then we, at that moment, became able to hear and see and recognize the things of God.
Amen.
Isn't he gracious in doing that?
Amen.
And after calling us, then he justified us, which means that he declared us righteous, even though we were guilty of sin. He then declared us righteous, and then afterward, he glorified us. That's the process we're going to go into once we are in our eternal state. Then the purpose, the whole purpose of all of that foreknowledge being called predestination, justification, sanctification. The purpose of all of that and glorification is that we might be conformed to the image of his son. That's the whole thing. It's not about us being us, because us being us can be pretty ugly. You know, we'll hate, we'll retaliate, we'll offer insult for insult. You know, if our honor is we feel that it's been besmirched, we're gonna go after folks, you know. And I mean, that's just how we are in our nature. And so I thank God that he saves us and then puts in us his nature and then gives us the Holy Spirit and walks us through, like teaches us. In other words, through mind renewal, he teaches us how to think like him and then how to ultimately act like him and talk like him.
Amen.
And so whereas we want to respond to insults with hate and violence and so forth, then the Lord God is teaching us to overcome evil with good.
Yes.
But you can't do that apart from the power of God.
Amen.
I mean, you may pull off something every once in a great while, but believe me, there goes come a time somebody's going to do something to you that your own strength not going to be able to handle.
Amen.
Or control. And that's where murders happen. That's where violence happens. That's where you have hatred and, you know, you have black and white versus brown and yellow and so forth and so on. You know, that just, you know, us in our own strength, we only can handle ourselves so far.
Amen.
There will come a time where things are going to, that you're going to face in your life that's going to be beyond your control. That's guaranteed. I don't care who is the most mightiest, the most seemingly together person, paid in full, status, fame, fortune, all of that. All of those things, status, fame, fortune, feel like you got it together, and all of those are natural physical things. They don't touch the spiritual realm of an individual. And that's why those things can't help that person truly. There's a lot of external things going on. But when it comes time where you need to dig into your spiritual realm, into that spiritual realm, tap into that, to not retaliate or to not think a certain way or to overcome some horrific death of a loved one, and not doing it through booze, pills, girls, boys, whatever it may be, suicide, that's where the power of Christ comes in. In order to live like him, to love as he loves, and to hate what he hates, there must be a retooling of the mind. There's not a human being born that has not been brainwashed.
Amen.
There's not a human being born that has not been brainwashed. It's just a matter of who's doing the brainwashing. Either society is, print media, broadcast media, social media, either that, your neighborhood, your culture, your people group nests, who you hang around, somebody has been feeding you stuff all your life.
Amen.
Period. All your life. And until you recognize that, you're going to keep being brainwashed and won't even know that you're being brainwashed.
Yeah.
And that fits with Satan's MO. He's the most subtle beast of the field. He's tricky, he's slick, he's sly, never obvious. Just slick it on in there. And you wonder, what in the world happened? How did this happen? How did this begin? And it takes the power of God to pull the wool off of his deal that we can see it clearly. And if we keep growing in the things of God, as which is the process of sanctification, keep growing in things of God, that being conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord will show you things beforehand, before they even happen, and you'll learn to avoid them. And that's the best thing. Yes, experience is a great teacher, it is. But it'd be great if you can learn from somebody else's experience.
Yeah.
And not have to go through it yourself.
Yeah.
It's great to ward it off. And that's what the Lord does. He says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. How Satan operates, we're not ignorant of. Meaning we are fully informed. Meaning that we have to hear Holy Spirit. There's no way in our own strength we can see what's slicking up behind the scenes.
Amen.
Because he's a master at the smoke screen. Satan is a master at the smoke screen. Put all this in front of you, whereas behind all that, there's some real damage that's being done. That's how marriages are destroyed. That's how relationships are destroyed. That's how families are destroyed.
Yeah.
Not realizing what's really going on.
Yeah.
And you'll find out corporations are destroyed, families are destroyed, relationships are destroyed, churches are destroyed. They're destroyed because the root of what's happening behind the scenes is spiritual. And you try to deal with it naturally. Well, let's talk about this. Let's sit down together. Let's do this and that and the other. That's why racism, bigotry, discrimination, hatred amongst people groups hasn't really lessened any. Because the problem is not natural. It's not physical. It's not of this world in a sense. It's in the heart.
Amen.
And that's spiritual.
Amen.
That's why, you know, when they, y'all know you heard this, just bear with me. That's why when they had the forced busing in Boston and other places, when they loaded blacks on buses and stuck them into white schools, that didn't fix the problem. Why? Because the heart didn't get fixed. And now, and this may come out comical a little bit, but it's really the truth. Now you just got folks hating each other up close rather than from afar. I mean, one of the girls in Little Rock 9 in Arkansas, you know, she hated it. She was there, I think, 4 years. She burned her books when she got to 12th grade. She didn't want nothing to do with Little Rock, Central High in Arkansas. She wanted the Little Rock 9 that stayed with her. I was Daisy Bates or one of them. She wanted nothing to do with it. It didn't change the heart.
No.
Forced integration, forced busing. You know, it's sad that Christians who have the truth would talk about, well, we just need to sit down and talk with one another. This ain't no Rodney King, can we all just get along anointing? That's ain't what's going on. It's way beyond that.
Amen.
No, we can't just all get along.
Amen.
There's something that has to take place for us to get along. I know y'all know this, but sanctification is a necessary process. That's the bottom line. We've been justified, declared righteous, and here we're going to be glorified. But in the meantime, this is us living this thing out on this earth. The problem with Christians in the world is that the world can't see that sanctification process.
Amen.
They're living such shoddy lives. And that's why almost all y'all in here, the Lord sent you usually from another church because you were church hurt, we would call that. And so Word of Life specializes, if you will, in inreach. There's outreach, when you reach out to the world. But there's inreach, where we tend to neglect the people of God, one another.
Amen.
And so those who've been hurt, like, I'm done with church. And some of you have said that. But God has sent you here.
Amen.
There's a different flavor here, and I thank God. I hope you sense realness here. Hope you sense that we're not here playing. What we see, we got. I mean, ain't no choir stands up here. You know, I mean, this is a bling free ministry.
Yes.
It's all about being real, keeping it real, and that means keeping it in a God centered ministry.
Amen.
With the Word of God. Not the pastor, not personalities,
hey,
are the center, the central focus. Because whenever you see a church where it's personality driven, you need to run from that church.
Amen.
I'll never forget that fella's wife, Miss. I get both of y'all was there, I guess. When they stopped, she was there. Yeah. They were about to set up for TV. And ain't nothing wrong with being on TV. You know, that's good. Get the word out there. You're doing things right, and so on. Nothing wrong with being on TV if your motives are right. But when you're in the midst of worship, and they shut it down to come out and put the napkin around the pastor, to put the makeup on, and so forth, to get it ready for TV, that's disturbing. It's taken away from you giving your full attention to God. We already struggle with loving Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. We struggle with that already. But to have an obvious interruption of focus, especially during that time, is really an insult to the grace of God.
Yes. Amen.
And at that point, she said, I'm done. Done with it. And some of us, for various reasons, said, I'm done. I've seen corruption. I've seen garbage. I think when JR went to church on Sunday, and now he wasn't saved yet, so don't. This is what I'm about to say. This was before Christ, okay? So I think JR was shooting dice, he was around the dice game or something on a Saturday night, and he just noticed the people. Boom, Saturday gone, Sunday morning, goes to church. He's sitting in the congregation, and he's looking around, and as his eyes come across the roster, the ministers on the roster, when you start doing like that, you suddenly notice somebody, you know. It's a random ball, but that's the dude that was shooting dice with us on Saturday. That's a problem. If the pastors aren't living, remember we're supposed to model for you all as we follow Christ.
Amen.
You don't follow me, period, as I follow Christ.
Yes.
I'm supposed to model the thought processes, the speech, and the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you have a young man who's probably in his early 20s, somewhere in there, a young man who goes to church for whatever reason. You know, folk can go to church for any reason to begin with, but the Lord God can always move on the heart of an individual while they're in that church. When you see something like that in the church, that's going to turn you off. That's an insult to the grace of God, to the holiness of God, to the person of God. You're claiming to be a representative of God. And so a person gets turned off. They are church hurt. He said, I'm done. And somehow the Lord gets you here and lets you know, what? Not all churches are like that.
Amen.
Not all pastors are like that.
Yes.
There are still some who do believe in the word of God.
Amen.
And I love how you can see my relationship with my wife. And those of you who've been here long enough, you've seen my relationship with my daughter. So you've seen me operate as a father and a husband, as well as a pastor.
Amen.
And as well as a brother.
And a son.
And your son, a mother, and also as an uncle. The many facets. Our lives are a fishbowl, meaning you can see from all sides. There's no hiding. And as a Christian, we need to embrace that.
Amen.
And not fear that, because Amen. We want to put God on display.
Yeah.
So we embrace it. Embrace the criticism. Embrace the close looks. Whenever you announce to the world you're a Christian, believe me, it's Tupac, all eyes on me. Pray for me. Pray for me. So the purpose of glorification, which is God's final removal of sin from the body of believers, the lives of believers, the purpose of that is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. I want to look at you another verse. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has order. He's logical. It may seem illogical to us because we're trying to We as finite mortal beings trying to understand an infinite, immortal, eternal God. And you're going to often come up short. What I say, Galatians chapter 19, I mean chapter 4, verse 19. Just for testing to see if you are listening. He said, my children, reading from the New American Standard Version, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Apostle Paul is saying, man, I'm working with y'all. I'm praying for y'all as your pastor, as their mentor and leader and spiritual father. I'm in there with birth, what it says, in labor, like a mother who's about to deliver a child. Labor pains. So this is intense labor for the people of God. He is saying, I'm in pain and I'm in labor, but I'm in there right with you, because we know this is a process that just stretches out, because he says, until Christ is formed in you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be praying over you, and I'm going to be in pain until Christ is formed in you. That's the ultimate. To see the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ manifest in you. That's what Christ being formed. His nature. Meaning, remember, we have the mind of Christ, so we think like him. Then we remember everything you speak, you must first think. You do nothing. You say nothing without first thinking it. I know you've heard people say, bear with me, I never heard this before. I know you heard people say, you know, before I knew it, I did this, or before I knew it, I said this. But that is a literal impossibility. Because it must first enter the mind, because the brain, the mind, because then that then informs the mouth to say what it is to say, or informs the muscles and nerves of the body to do what it is supposed to do. So everything enters here. That's why the word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he. It first enters here, and that influences what you're going to say, and it influences what you're going to do. So when we talk about Christ being formed in you, we have the mind of Christ. So that means then, slowly, over time, it's a process, and we ought to progress toward that. We're going to, as we think more like him, we're going to speak more like him, and we're going to act more like him. And therefore, between justification and glorification is the life here on this earth as sanctification. And Apostle Paul says, I'm in pain and labor and travail over you. I'm going to do that until Christ is formed in you. Now, that's a good pastor. That's a good father. That's a good mentor. And that's why we hurt when we hear other things. You know, you don't know the depth of my pain when we see people of God go south. Quit, leave, or do whatever. That's extremely painful. Why? Because of the depth of my love for you. Because if I didn't care for you, it would be, well. Would never be that. Because I'm beginning to understand about the conformation process that God is working out in us to be formed like Jesus. Amen. Hey, that's the purpose of our whole existence.
Amen.
Become like him. It's not about making fame, make that much, this, that, anything down here. It's not about, this is an eternal situation. That's why as Christians, and this is like talking to like 9 people as Christians, and just in this room. But really, as Christians, we shouldn't be so caught up in the world. But yet, it's still millions are caught up in the world. Meaning, when I say caught up in the world, I mean the things of this world. It's the exact opposite of 1 John 2 and 15, I think. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We love in the world. We want to be like the world. We even let the world validate when a Christian, for example, like a Christian musician, we let the world validate that they've made it. You know, I remember when Lecrae won a Grammy. You know, wow, he's that's a bunch of sinners who probably liked the vibe of what he was putting out there and the recognition it got and rewarded him for it. That's not God ordained. No, Lauren Daigle is doing, you know, as far as the world is concerned, her name being mentioned up there with Drake and others, you know, as far as people that are trending on, I don't know none about that stuff, you know, social media. But whatever that is, her name is being mentioned right along with these other, but they are other sinners. We shouldn't like, well, they made it now. Statutes and accolades from this world. Please, let that compartmentalize that. Keep that in that compartment. Amen. Don't let it seep over into what God is doing. Don't let the world validate what God is doing. They can't ever validate what God is doing because they don't recognize it. You got to remember that. They cannot recognize what God is doing. Amen. By way of review still, we talked about Christ being formed in us, right? Until Christ is formed in you. We talked about last time that that conformity is guaranteed. It's going to happen. God is going to do that for his people. Because after this process of sanctification is over, first is glorification, sanctification, and then there's justification rather. Then there's the life of living it out, glorification on this earth, or sanctification, help me.
That's sanctification.
And then this is glorification in eternity future. So realize that this process of glorification is a guaranteed process. In other words, it's going to happen. Why? Because God is going to do that.
Amen.
This is the destiny of the people of God. This is a predestination. Predestiny. Remember the giving of destination before the journey ever began.
Yes.
So once the journey began, there's justification, sanctification, glorification here. Well, God is the one that's going to bring it about. And it's guaranteed to happen because he cannot lie.
Amen.
So we looked at, if you want to turn back to 1 John chapter 3. If not, you can listen. 1 John 3 and 2. 1 John 3 and 2. He said, now we are children of God. Has not appeared as yet what we will be. Notice the will be in the future. Because we are not that right now. We know that when he appears, we will. There's an absolute guaranteed, sure to happen statement, phrase. We will be like him. Who is him? Jesus. Because we will see him as he is. This is guaranteed that God is going to bring about this process. And that's good news. And we're still just kind of reviewing here. We talked about that, again, glorification is the final removal of sin once and for all, permanently from the lives of believers, from the lives of Christians, from the lives of God's children. And we said then, once sin is removed from our lives, that will enable us to get to a state where we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind, all of it. Meaning we'll love him in what's the word we use? Undiluted fashion. So it's not loving him with some of our love and then we're loving the world with the rest of our love. It's not like we're loving him with some of our mind, thinking about him sometimes, but then our thoughts are down in the world. Or we love him with some of our energies and strength. We use that for him sometimes. And the other is that when we glorify. Once we reach this state, sin is removed. We're going to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength all the time. It's going to be in an undiluted fashion. Pure love for the Father. We can't. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
To love him purely.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. Down here, it seemed like a pipe dream. Because we have sin in us, and therefore we just can't identify with that right now. But know that that's what's coming. Know that that's the destiny. But once we get there, it's just the point. Point of this that I'm making is this. Once that sin is removed permanently from our lives, the process of glorification, once it is, and we're loving God with everything we have purely, 100% all the time, then, and here's the point I want to make, I mean, you've heard this before, our compassion, our love, our concerns will be much more for the vindication, the maintenance, the upholding, the defending of God's holiness than it will be for a corrupt, fallen kinsman or kinfolk or relative of ours. We're going to identify with God's holiness and his judgments. And as that happens, we're going to, in undiluted fashion, praise God for his judgments.
Amen.
We're not there yet.
No.
We're not there yet. But thank God that that is the promise. That is the direction. That is our destiny.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, still reviewing. We said first and foremost that the process of glorification, is first and foremost a work of Almighty God, right? Philippians chapter 1. Let's go over there. Philippians chapter 1, by way of review. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is really, truly shouting material because thank God he's doing it. Thank God I don't have to rely on anyone else to do this. I don't have to make a call, then wait on that person to contact somebody else. Then the board got to approve it. Then they got to send it to the president and the dean. Then now more people got to come before them. And then the 54% of the vote happened. Then you're going to start the glorification process. That doesn't happen. Thank God. It's God alone with the promise. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "For I am confident of this very thing." And we talked about the word confident. Apostle Paul is not flip-flopping. He's not wavering. "I am confident of this very thing, that the he who begins it is God the Father." Remember, it's a Trinitarian statement, really. You know, it says he, singular, but we know that God the Father, through the power, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, look at all three of those, they all have begun this work, a good work. Notice they began a good work. So the work has begun. Justification. I guess you can get technical and talk about foreknowledge, predestination, the call. But then justification, you could say, begins the work. Sanctification is a continuation of that work. And notice it says, we'll perfect it, which means we'll complete it and consummate it. That's glorification. So he says, he who began a good work in justification in you will perfect it, which means to fully complete it, fully finalize it. Remember, it's an intense verb, perfect it. He will finish it. And there is no possibility of failure or partial fulfillment. He's going to do this.
Amen.
It's guaranteed.
Yes.
So he says, he who began in justification, which means declared you righteous. And that means that the sin you've committed, he has removed the penalty of sin from your life. Because Jesus took that penalty. He died our death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins shall die. So he died that death in our place.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Now, but being justified, you can't just lollygag through your time here on earth. At that moment, because you are righteous, you must now live righteous. That's what sanctification is. So that's what all this is here while we're here on this earth. Our sojourn, our journey on this earth is the process of sanctification, living like thinking like the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking like him, and living like him. That's what this is. That's what we're working toward while we're down here. Amen. When we die, glorification is our lot. Thank you, Lord. So this is the completion. They said he will complete it. This is going to happen here. He is never going to just justify and sanctify without glorifying.
Amen.
He will complete it. And as we say, there is no possibility of failure or partial fulfillment. Partial fulfillment looks like justification and sanctification, but nothing else. He's going to finish it. So remember that. First and foremost, God starts this process. He is the one that does it. Then we talked about that glorification, removal of sin from the life, involves two parts of the person. And that would be their body and their spirit. Okay, their body and their spirit. Now we talked about the spirit. That was in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Hebrews 12, 23. And thank you for being patient while we review this, because this is very, very, very important. Hebrews 12, 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous. Remember, justification is righteous. When you've been declared righteous, he's talking about you. Your spirit, the spirits of the righteous, he says, made perfect. Made perfect. If they're made perfect, that means that they weren't perfect before. So in order for them to be made perfect, then that means that the process of the glorification, that's exactly what it is. The making perfect of the spirits of the righteous. So that's the glorification process as it pertains to the spirit. Okay? Now let's talk about the glorification process as it pertains to the body. We went over this. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians 3, 21. 321, who will transform the body, this is specifically talking about the body, of our humble state, which we are very humble, meaning, not mean necessarily humility, but humble as in it's doomed to death, it's doomed to frailties, sickness and disease, decay. That's what it means by being in a humble state. It's mortal. He will transform the body of our humble state, into conformity with the body of his glory. So we're going to get a glorified body. I know those heard this, just bear with me. And again, I say that, but I like to think, hope you're like myself, where I know I can't hear it enough. I heard it 30 times, I haven't heard it enough. Because with all that distraction that's in this world, you can hear the spiritual concepts. You need to hear it about 100 times before you begin to start to understand it.
Amen.
So our body, which is before this, during the justification and sanctification process, our bodies are doomed to death. And that's why they are mortal. So mortal means death doomed. Okay? They're doomed to frailties, doomed to decay. They break down and so forth. And eventually they die. Because of sin, they're going to die. Well, what the Lord is going to do is take that body and transform it into a glorified body like Jesus' resurrected body. That's what it says here. He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. His glory. His is Jesus' glory. Because God doesn't have a body. So he's not talking about God. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, whose physical body was nailed on a cross, taken off the cross, buried in a grave, and then rose the third day. When he rose the third day, that body was not his regular, humble, earthly, natural body. It was a glorified body. Notice it says the body of his glory. That was this body. A glorified body. Yes, Jesus received a glorified body just like us. And we talked about that body is a special kind of body. It's not like it's not like our body pre-glorification. No. Remember how he was able to just materialize and appear in the middle of them arguing and fussing behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. He was able to sit actually on a natural physical seat. So he's able to contact the physical world. He's able to sit down and then eat natural food. He ate fish and honeycomb. So he ate natural food. He talked. He walked the earth when he was after he was raised from the dead. So we're going to have a body like that, but it will not decay. It won't get older. It won't get, you know. Mm-hmm. People ask, will we look like each other? I don't know. We're going to know one another, but we're going to have supernatural knowledge. So whether or not we're going to look like one another, may look just like one another. But if I gained a little weight, will I have a weight that I don't know, man? Will I be overweight in heaven? Will I be an overweight lover? Hey, man, just calm down. Just calm down. I don't know. And that's not the characteristics of it per se is not what to focus on. The thing to focus on is it's a body that's going to exist forever.
Amen.
Now that's something to So our spirits in the glorification process are made perfect, sin completely removed, finally and forever, and our bodies become immortal. Then we're in a glorified state. We'll never grow old, never get tired, never get sick, none of that. And we'll never sin.
Amen.
This thing born in an eternal state. Can you imagine? Can you imagine billions of people getting along with one another forever, perfectly? Nobody backbiting. You don't have people groups. You don't have, you know, they call them race wars and race riots, police shootings, ghetto gang shootings. You won't have none of that. Nobody sniping behind your back, smiling in your face. All the time they want to take your place. help me. The backstabbers. All that's gone. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, King James says a glass, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. There's a process happening now into the same image. What image? The glory of the Lord from glory to glory. So it's a process. We're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. The process is happening now. That's why I'm saying as you live your life as a Christian, if you truly are a born-again believer, there should be a decreasing frequency of sin.
Amen.
A decreasing frequency of sin. You shouldn't sin as much. It should be less and less and less. It is a process. That's why I even this is a great thing. Justification happens, that's what God does. Glorification happens, that's what God does. So this is monergistic, mono energy, the energy of being spent by one to bring this about. So this is monergistic, justification. This is monergistic, glorification. But sanctification, living this thing out, that's synergistic, that's a symphony. It's God in concert with us. See, God don't make you do right. He empowers you, enables you, gives you the capacity and the capability to do right. But ultimately, you got to use that strength to do right.
Amen.
You've heard the example many times. Hammer, nails, blueprint, 2x4s, you know, you got it all there. But if you take a hammer, a nail, and put it in, stick the beginning part of it into the wood, and then take your fist and try to pound a nail into the wood, whose fault is that your hand is tore up?
Yours.
I said he gave you. How? hammer, nails, wood, but you choose to leave the hammer right there, and put the nail into the wood and use your fist to do that, then you're going to complain that you got a tore up hand. That's just what people do. You wonder why your marriage is tore up. You're not using it. I'm talking about Christian marriages. You're not using that which God has told you to do. How in the world God says do A, but you choose to do B, you don't get God's results, you're going to get mad at God. My hand tore up. And God is saying, there's a hammer. Are you getting this? Yeah. Amen. Synergistic. This is not just standing around and, okay, God, make me do right. No. He empowers you, gives you Holy Spirit, gives you his word, gives you teaching pastors, got an angel, Holy Spirit living on the inside, got a life coach, a therapist full time. Yes. And then you got to tell you things like, don't love the world, overcome evil and good. He's got to give you directions, because even after all of that, sheep being the dumbest, weakest animal in the animal kingdom, which he causes. And remember, don't get mad at me. I didn't choose to call you sheep. God did.
Amen.
They're the helpless, most defenseless, dumbest, weakest animal in the animal kingdom. Amen. And he calls us sheep. Why? Because we do dumb things. We're helpless against the kingdom of darkness. And so, he gives us Holy Spirit, teaching pastors, the Word of God, to carry out this process. And it is a process. And it is something that takes its time. It's something that you must deal with daily. You must nurture your spiritual walk daily, minutely, secondly, hourly. You can't take any breaks, y'all. Because if you're not moving forward, what you doing there? You're moving backwards. There is no, oh, I'm supposed to rest right here. Devil's not going to let you do that.
No.
Just because of who your enemy is, you can't just say, I'm just going to hunker down right here and just kind of chill out. No, you're going to be slowly drifting backwards. It's the same thing like in a boat. You know, if you row out so far and just, let me pick up my oars, you know, something's going to sit right here. You're going to drift. You're not going to be in that same spot.
Amen.
Too many Christians are drifting. They don't have an anchor tied to the Word of God. The anchor gripping the solid rock, and that rock is Jesus. Glory be to God. And so, during this process of sanctification, we're also being transformed from glory to glory to glory to glory until we are glorified, until we've reached the final state of glorification. As a Christian, your life, my life, our lives are not our own.
Amen.
The whole purpose is for God.
Amen.
Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans 5, 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Just knowing we're going to be glorified ought to bring us great, great joy.
Amen.
Great joy. And I think that's starting to happen here at Word of Life, because we talked about the last 2 months or so. Just knowing we're going to be glorified ought to bring us great joy.
Amen.
As Mr. Chris told me, it's a freeing up of the mind and soul, because I can rest in what God is doing.
Amen.
Chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3, 18. But Romans 5, chapter 2. Just see if you're listening. Wow. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. You are listening. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Semicolon. And we, I don't know what your definition has, translation has, but mine is, and we exult. Some say we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope. The word exult means to show or feel elation or jubilation, especially as the result of a success. To feel elation or jubilation, especially at the result of a success. And of course, our success is knowing that God is going to do what he has promised that he's going to do. It means rejoice, to be joyful, to be happy, to be delighted, to be elated, to be ecstatic, overjoyed, jubilant, rapturous, thrilled, jump for joy on cloud nine in seventh heaven.
Amen.
So this is not just a casual joy. This is to that level. But think about it is, my question is, if you don't know anything about glorification, how can you even rejoice in that?
Amen.
You can't rejoice in what you don't know about.
Amen.
And I think that's a sad thing about Christians. We're missing out on where to really place our joy in an exalted, you know, ecstatic fashion, because we don't know about this. And I thank God he's moved on us to learn about this.
Amen.
Because we can really anchor and ground our joy in something that's guaranteed to happen.
Amen.
And that's him bringing that about.
Yes.
Glory be to God. We're going to stop there, and we'll finish up next week. We're going to describe how it will be for us in our glorified state. And it's something, in order to describe how it will be, we have to first describe how it won't be, because we can't picture how something is going to be. We can just tell you what's not going to be there. Okay, just a preview. Like, it'll say there'll be no more death, no more tears, no more crying. We got to talk about what's not there. That's how amazing it is over our heads. Even for us to begin to understand it, the Holy Ghost, through God Almighty, had to tell us what it's not going to be like. Because what it is going, if he said it's going to be like this, it would be worse than states that we can't even understand. Even just saying no more tears, we can't even fathom that.
No
more crying? Are you serious? There'd be no more sadness? No more pain? No more sorrow? Ever? But what if it does nothing, if anything is being done, it ought to give us hope.
Amen.
Like, wow, there's going to be a day that all this is going to be fixed. That's what I rejoice in. That's what I hold on to. Mr. Arlene took a deep breath. I love it. Father God, we thank you for your word today. Such hope. Such hope. Such hope. We have hope in you. You cannot lie. In your word, you said that this hope will not disappoint. King James did not make us ashamed, because what we were hoping for didn't happen. And so now we're ashamed. He said, this hope won't do that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We have a hope that will not disappoint, won't make us ashamed. Why? Because you're going to fulfill that which we're hoping for.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
He who began a good work is faithful. In other words, he's going to show enough completed.
Amen.
Now unto him who was able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, you're going to present us with exceeding joy.
Amen.
You are the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now, Father God, in time, and forevermore in eternity. In Jesus' name, let every heart say, Amen.
Amen. Amen.